Joining me on our edition of Our Town, our candidate edition of Our Town, is Jo Rae Perkins. She is running for U.S. Senate. And good day to you. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, George. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
First, let's start off with giving the listeners a little bit of your background. Let's talk a little bit about how you got to this point. What did you do previous to this?
So previous to this, pre-political, I've been, my background's in financial planning. I've been a financial advisor, personal banker, I've been in real estate. I currently hold a property and casualty insurance license. I'm a Main Street American. I've worked for small businesses. I also worked at Oregon State University. After I went back and got my degree, went back in 2011, graduated in 2013 with my undergrad in political science and a minor in speech communication, and ended up going to work on campus for a couple of years. And I'm a Main Street American.
So why now? Why at this juncture did you decide to step into the Senate race to make your voice heard?
Well, I actually ran for this nomination in 2014 when Dr. Webby won. And so I started way back then. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't win, I filed for the 4th Congressional District in 2016. Art Robinson filed also and won again. Same thing happened in 2018. I filed for this year, for 2020, and then I had several people ask me to please take another look at the Senate seat. And I'm very thankful that I did that and jumped in and said, let's go for it, after a lot of prayer and discussion with my family. And here I am.
When you look at the overall makeup of say, the State House and the State Senate, a lot of people say, well, you know, Portland's the reason why we have what we have. Well, you kind of look around and you can see that it's a little bit more widespread than that. How do you feel your chances are in this election?
Our chances are phenomenal, especially because of what's been going on in downtown Portland. When we have the mayor, Wheeler, going back to January 2017, telling the Portland police to stand down and let Antifa do what they want to do is unconscionable to me. And then when we have a governor who doesn't tell the mayor, hey, get control of your city, or we're going to have to send in the Oregon National Guard to take control. I mean, she already tried it with the state police, but unfortunately they hired a district attorney up there who's letting criminals go if it's a minor, quote unquote, minor offense in his mind. And so when we take a look at that, that's not Oregon. That's Portland. And there's a lot of people in Portland that are very frustrated with what is going on as well, and they're tired of this. And then let's move this over to Senator Merkley, and he has not spoke out against the rioting. In fact, he called the law enforcement that President Trump sent in to protect the federal courthouse, he called them Trump's secret police. Well, the only other people that I remember in my history books being called secret police were from Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. And he essentially called President Trump a Nazi by doing that. And that's wrong, and they have every legal right to protect the people. In fact, that's the number one duty of our government, is to protect the people.
Now, in the U.S. Senate, obviously, you have responsibilities for, you know, to kind of bring attention to Oregon.
Yes.
But you also have a national responsibility, too. Can you break those two down for me? Do you see a difference in priorities as far as what we owe Oregon to what we owe the federal government?
Yes, I can. It is a bit of a challenge because there is an overlap. My campaign is all based on the Constitution. The job description is in the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8 specifically, but it throughout all of Article 1 in the U.S. Constitution. So your listeners, look that up. Read your Constitution. So when I'm going to be voting, everything that I vote and how I vote is going to be based on what the Constitution says the role of the federal government is to do. And it's specific. It says those things not enumerated or in our language not listed are left to the states. And so looking at that, it's how much intervention should the federal government have at the state level? It's supposed to be an oversight. And the number one duty, again, is to protect. That's the number one duty against enemies, foreign and domestic. So that's how I'm looking at it. And looking at waste, fraud, and abuse, we need to put a stop to that because it's the people's money. And that's where it affects Oregonians, is we're paying taxes. And as the federal government gets larger and larger, that money has to come from somewhere. They take it from us. Well, if we can start shrinking the size of the federal government, that means the federal government needs less money, means we get to keep more of ours.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice?
It will be nice.
I'd like to see somebody get in there and actually make an attempt or make progress toward doing that. That would be really nice.
Yeah, it is working. And President Trump has already started that. He didn't hire as many staff people as could be done. And I plan on following the same thing. There's, doing this off the top of my head, I believe 6 federal offices in Oregon. Why do we need 6? It's office space in the buildings. And so, again, it's taking a look at that, but then looking at how that's staffed. what's the cost of that? And I'm the ultimate penny pincher. My background is a financial planner. I had the fiduciary responsibility to be careful with my clients' money. I view the people's money as exactly the same thing. I have to be very careful how I spend that money. And so when I say that, not only within my own budget, with my staff and offices, but on how I'm going to vote on bills.
A lot of the topics and a lot of things that are getting attention right now are not necessarily the mainstream problems that Americans, you know, are dealing with. In other words, the unrest and all that stuff. I mean, that is something that is getting a lot of attention now, but there's still the health care. There's still, you know, the daily operations of things that affect Americans more so than, you know, rioting in the streets, especially, you know, in Portland. You see a lot of people on the streets in different towns, pretty much quiet, pretty much, you know, just doing their thing. Portland, Seattle, different places like that are bad. But what about these daily things that Americans are dealing with? What's your take on how to bring the attention or focus back to the things that really count to us?
I've been asking as I go around, I ask almost every single time when I'm speaking to a group of people what they're concerned about. Social Security comes up because I speak to a lot of seniors, Medicare sometimes, and the health insurance. Government is not good at business. We have too many people that have spent their careers in government. They don't know what it's like to be a business owner.
A lot of lawyers, though.
A lot of lawyers. Yeah, well, they still don't know what it's like to, you know, because a lot of them have gone straight in, you know, from law school straight into the political arena. There's, when it comes to health care, health insurance, there are better alternatives than what are out there. I know that the Trump Organization is working on some plans. I haven't seen those plans yet. I look forward to being able to read those. I personally promote cost-sharing programs. It's not insurance. You're self-paying. So you're pulling your money together with other people. And when a catastrophic event comes up, then that money gets dispersed out directly to the doctors. That saves the money because now they're not having to wait or having to spend money for, somebody just to do their insurance billing. It's very expensive. And it frees up the hands of the doctors as well to be able to actually practice medicine instead of having to do what the insurance companies tell them they have to do.
But again, to be able to do that, the American people have to take a little bit more home in their paycheck in
Correct.
Order to do that.
Correct. So for example, the last time that I got a quote on my health insurance, and I'm 64 years old, it was around $900 a month with a $5,000 deductible. I am paying $178 a month. And so if I get injured, my out-of-pocket is $500. I'm way ahead money, way ahead. But I pay for my own doctor visits. Well, a doctor visit is $200-$300. I'm still thousands of dollars ahead. And that's why I like those kinds of programs. You're basically self-insuring with a whole lot of other people.
And again, the idea when you look at a hospital bill, generally with insurance companies, when a doctor gets a bill from an insurance company, it's a little bit more than what a person would have paid out of pocket if
Correct.
They paid it for themselves.
Yep.
That's what about that? What about insurance companies?
Well, I think that the insurance industry really started going downhill when they put in HMOs and they started saying, well, you need to get a second opinion. Well, okay, I have a problem with my foot. I need to see a foot specialist. I should go to the podiatrist. Why do I need to go to my primary care provider to have them then make a referral to the podiatrist when I know what I need?
Right.
That doesn't make sense. Now, if I don't know what it is, I would go to my primary care physician. But if we have a pretty good idea of what it is, that's double the cost, right? If I have to go see my PCP, okay, now we have to refer you over here to this specialist. Now that's two doctor visits that are getting paid for, and the costs go up.
Well, let me give you a chance to give your statement. What is something you would like the voters to know that will help them make a decision in your favor when they vote on November 3rd?
I'm for term limits. I believe that 12 years maximum is plenty of time to be in Washington, D.C., and that is combined between the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. That means a person could serve two full terms in the Senate, or six full terms in the House of Representatives, or one term in the Senate and three terms in the House of Representatives. It was never meant to be a career, and we've seen what happens when people are there years and years and years. A lot of corruption can creep in, and I think that we need to put a stop to it. The founders never, even though they didn't put in term limits, they were clear. They said, serve your country for a season, and if you still want to be politically involved, do so at your local level. And so that's one of the big things. The next is my staff and I will read every single bill before I vote on it. We are going to take the bill Everybody will take a section of that bill and start reading it. We are going to make sure that it is absolutely constitutional. If there's something in there that is not one of the duties listed or responsibilities listed for the federal government, if I can't get that pulled out, I will have to vote no, irregardless of who sponsored that bill. Even if I co-sponsored the bill and they, and in all the committees,
piled on
stuff, if I can't get it kicked back out, I would have to vote no. And that is my absolute promise. I'm not going to go against it. My job description is in the Constitution. And it's time that we have somebody that is going to, one, represent all Oregonians, no matter where you live. Portland does not run the state. And the only way to show that is that I'm going to legislate by the book. And that's what the job description is, and that's what I'm applying for, and that's what I'm asking the voters to please hire Joe Ray Perkins to be your U.S. Senator, whether you live here on the coast or all the way over in Ontario, Oregon. It shouldn't matter. We all need to be treated equally. I stand for law and order. I will stand with our law enforcement as long as they're honoring our constitutional rights. I absolutely will stand with our law enforcement. Without our law enforcement, without law and order, we're going to have chaos like we're seeing up in Portland.
Joe Ray Perkins is running for U.S. Senate. Thank you so much for stopping in today.
You are welcome. And people can go to my website, perkinsforussenate.vote, and find out more.
Thank you so much. And coming up next is the Republican challenger for the seat currently held by Congressman Peter DeFazio, Alex Skarlatos.